You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3.
Final Hour Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and now up on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. Our buddy Kelly Chase will join us in about 5 minutes. And I'm going to have to go Larry King on our boy Chaser, because I think he was tweeting about this, or I certainly read someone say that he was actually tearing up last night when
in the
Blues.
Hallway. Like the players, I saw
Chaser was literally crying. Kelly Chase
apparently
was crying.
Kelly Chase was brought to tears, which made a bunch of the players almost break down because they love him so much and he loves them. He's very tight with some of the veteran guys, Alex Steen and Maroon. He has a long history with Patrick Maroon as well. But I think it was Maroon's comments saying that Kelly Chase was crying in the hallway. Their team had won or something.
I know Brett Hull said that he was crying as well.
There's a legendary scout, former player there, Bob Plager, and Bobby Plager's been, he's kind of a fixture there. And he has a lot of anxiety. So there's like a Bobby Plager watch. Like he walks the hallways. He has a tough time watching the games right now with the pressure. And that's something I think that the guys have gravitated to. There's the young girl who's sick there. There's so many.
Oh, there's great stories,
storylines out of it. It's just,
I don't picture Chaser, crying, getting to a Cup final.
Chaser's a crier.
Oh yeah, he's a very emotional.
So what
person.
Happens if they win the Cup?
He will be a mess.
A mess.
And
who do you think's going to party harder than Chaser? The players themselves?
Chaser will.
Or Kelly Chase.
Kelly Chase and maybe Brett Hull. Although,
Keith Tkachuk's down there in St. Louis, too. I mean, he's got
big
a real connection.
I mean, Al MacInnis is part of the organization. Chris Pronger's there. There's a lot of former alumni.
Would you feel a connection to it? Like, are you rooting for St. Louis because you played there?
I would like to say yes, but I don't know why I have, this. I want players. Like, Jay Bomeister's a good friend of mine. I want Jay Bomeister to win a cup. Absolutely. But if Boston won, I'd be happy for them. I don't know why I don't have that,
You have no emotional tie to what's happening in
St. Louis. I do have an emotional tie to the city of St. Louis, the organization. I want them to have success, absolutely. But if they lost, I'd still be proud of them. I played with Craig Berube. Like I say, I played with Jay Bomeister, Al MacInnis, who's part of management. I'm tied to that organization on many different levels. But if they happen to lose, I wouldn't be, heartbroken.
Right.
They were there.
It's been a great run anyway.
Exactly. They've made it there.
It's a great run.
But I care for a lot of people in that city, and I do have a soft spot for them, put it that way.
I think the media, they're going to be in for a treat. I think a lot of them, for some reason, I've heard a bunch of tweets today or read a bunch of tweets. I've actually never been to St. Louis, so there's mixed stories about it. But I'm telling you, St. Louis, always one of my favorites.
It's a good city.
Oh, yeah. I'm one of those guys. I've never been there. I just assume, I don't think I'd like St. Louis.
Well, it's amazing.
It's a well-hidden city. It's a sneaky good city because it's a sports town. The fans love their teams and the players love the city. You can tell because so many guys have retired there. Former Blues, they're guys from Canada, everywhere, have made their lives in St. Louis, and the fans take great care of them. But I that's right. I do have a soft spot for that situation. But, there's just so many people in that organization I still keep in touch with, and I would like to see them have success. But I got to be objective as well.
Well, I wonder what the alumni situation is like when you get to a Cup final.
I don't know. You want to hear that?
I'm hoping.
You want me to read the text I got, which I thought was pretty cool, from the Blues today, because I sent one of the guys a note just saying congrats, and he said, love hearing from our former Blues. We are all a part of this if it happens.
Right, but do you think you could call them up and say, I'm coming down and I want tickets?
I think I have enough ins there that I could, but I wouldn't.
You're not in Toronto.
I would demand to pay for them, or I would demand, I wouldn't put people out, put it that way.
Right, no, of course.
But
connections. I guess you would have those connections.
I'm pretty sure I could make a phone call and things would happen.
I just think that would be a bummer. If you were a guy who, you were there for a couple of years.
I was there 4 years.
Right. But and let's say you still live in St. Louis and you go to all the games and you support it, and then they get to a cup final, and it's like Chris Pronger's coming back, so you can't have that seat. Because
at the end of the day, there's so many people that come out of the woodworks, man.
But that's what PR guys do.
It's like you can't make everybody happy, you know. It's the Stanley Cup Finals. If you just show up and you're like, "Hey, I'm back."
Well, good PR guys, I know this. They always have a few extra tickets in their back pocket in case. One story I got was Mike Myers showed up out of nowhere. Like, I think it was the cup finally, whether it was Calgary, Tampa, or something like that, happened to be in town. Like,
how does that work, though? Does his manager email PR and say he wants to go? Because I would say, well, tell him to go on Ticketmaster.
Well, it's not about buying good tickets. It's about being in a, you know, you put him in a suite. You just like you said, the Drake situation, that it's good to have these type of celebrities to show up at the events, because the camera will find them. Last night, the camera found PK Subban, Nazem Kadri, Mitch Marner. Who else was there? Donovan Bailey.
Mm-hmm.
That's who they pointed out last night.
Timberland was there last night, I think, too. And Drake, of course.
Well,
Drake.
That's a given. But it is good. But good PR people, and a lot of the league has a lot of them.
It's got to be a jam job, though. Like, because I have heard stories of prominent celebrities, one of which we happen to be talking about a lot these days, giving it the old, you know, 5 hours before the game. I think I am going to come tonight.
Yeah.
And they're like, what the hell are we supposed to do now?
Hey, and I want the I want a box.
I want a suite.
Yeah. And
you got to move you people. You got to get him a suite, because he's not reaching out to you, the guy who runs the suite. He's reaching out to Larry Tannenbaum.
Exactly.
And Larry said, find a way to make this work for us.
It happens, but they put it this way. I think it's a good problem to have, because you're in the finals and everyone wants a piece of you. The biggest challenge from talking to my friends, and you've been there, how distracting is it for friends, family, and stuff? What did you do?
Nothing. My dad came to one game in Carolina. Maybe the two home games, and never heard from him. He played golf with his buddies, and that was it.
Yeah, see, that's where I find now the distractions of these kids now in today's game. Their parents are a big part of it. Like, I mean, Auston Matthews' parents are almost at every game. Are they not?
There are a lot of them.
Parents in the NHL now are at more games than ever before.
Now, there's more financial.
They travel on the road with the team, it seems like.
But there's more financial resources, too. Like, guys,
no kidding, because every parent that has their kid in hockey, they're rich now. That's
why. They're rich, but
also the players are rich, so they're the ones paying.
Connor Brown makes $2.5 million.
Yeah, I think Connor's probably flying his parents in
if they want. But that's what I'm saying. Like, there is more connection between parents and their player and their kids traveling nowadays than I would think in my day.
Oh, without question. Like, there used to be those great videos out. I think the Hall of Fame maybe produced them.
Right.
Where they would be about one specific Hall of Fame player. I'm sure you guys have seen different tapes. And I remember this vividly because we just mentioned the name Hall.
Right.
And it was Bobby Hall telling a story about Bobby Orr. Because Bobby Hall grew up in Ontario. I don't know where he grew up. And he was talking about Orr. He was talking about how he first found out about him because his dad told him about him. And he said, my dad would only come to games when we were in Toronto or Montreal. Yeah. Never came to Chicago.
Yeah.
Never came to New York or Boston. He'd drive to either Toronto or Montreal.
Well, back then, you had to take the train.
Exactly.
A lot of teams took the train.
He's not taking
then.
A 10-hour train to come see you. I'll see you when you play the Leafs or you play Montreal. And anyway, he said, you know, Robert or whatever, Bobby, wait till you see this kid in Oshawa. Like, he's unbelievable. It's such a cool little anecdote.
It is.
But it speaks to that. Like, Bobby Hall was the superstar of superstars, and his dad's like, I'm not coming to Chicago to see you play.
I'll see you when you're through Toronto.
Yeah, when you're in Toronto, I'll come down.
But most parents.
That's what I got. But Ottawa, Montreal, parents always there.
I got that, too. Like, Edmonton, my parents and my friends, maybe Calgary.
Yeah.
That was it.
Outside of that, I'm not coming to see you.
Rarely.
We got Chaser on the line.
Well, I mean, he had a tweet this morning that was quite cryptic, but I have to call BS on it because I think he was just leaving Obie Clark's again.
So that's the bar that in St. Louis that we're talking about with him last week. Yeah. Here's Kelly Chaser, our buddy from St. Louis. How you feeling today, Chaser?
Fantastic. Just thinking about sleeping tonight. I'm going to wrestle around with a bed, and it's going to lose tonight.
What was your party situation like last night?
Oh, it was just fun. It was the same haunts I'm always going to, but it was great to see the energy in the city with the people, you know. They've waited a long time to get to the finals, you know, and I think that it put a lot of energy in a city that for the last few years has taken a bit of a beating. It's a lot of it unjust, whether it was the Ferguson stuff or the Rams leaving or whatever it might have been. I think that the city needed an uplift, and 25 hockey players kind of turned it around a bit for them.
Chaser, you know, the weather wasn't cooperating last night. Walk us through that, because it sounded like the crowd and everyone made it to the arena quite early, because it was tornado warnings. Like, walk us through what went down.
I think the Cardinals just did that on purpose just so they could cancel their game and all come to the game. We were all at the game last night, and I think they knew nobody was going to be at Busch Stadium buying beer, so they sent that out themselves. It was pretty gnarly. I think it winds and everything, but it didn't deter anyone. I mean, Ballpark Village was packed, you know, and Enterprise Center packed, and so it was really neat. It was fun. As I said, you know, look, they believe, you know, they haven't accomplished anything yet. They're a proud bunch of guys that said all the right things, did all the right things, and you know, I made a joke this morning on the radio that. I said, don't worry. I said, I checked out every place last night. They were all in. I'm justifying for them all right now that I out-partied them, so you don't have to worry about having a bunch of guys that are going to start slow in the next series.
Were you actually crying last night after the game?
Well, I'll tell you what. I was. I had emotions because Bobby played. I want to go down. I want to be close to see what the fans are going to be like. So I get down by the back of the bench, kind of down the hallway, and I'm looking up at the screen, and I start looking around, and these people are jumping up and down and hugging each other and crying. And I'm like, and it dawns on me that it's 50 years. These people have been supporting 50 years. It's crazy. So I'm like, all right, you know, I'm gonna make sure that I, you know, kind of pay attention to this. And I thought, this is kind of cool. And I'm thinking about it. I turn around and go, I'm gonna go into this little club door that's off to the side of it, and I walk in. And lo and behold, Bobby Plager's walking in, and Hull's sitting at a table. And Bobby Plager comes in, and Bobby goes, he looks at me, and I go, hey, coach, because he coached us in 91 in the minors when we won the cup down there. I go, hey, coach, and he goes, hey, well, guy. And he just shakes my hand, and he hugs me, and he's got tears running down his face. And I'm like, I mean, that's not Bobby Plager. I mean, he's tougher than barbed wire. And I'm like, holy smokes. And Hully says, what are you two idiots doing? He goes, you're going to make me cry? And the next thing you know, I got to walk out of the room. And then, of course, I walk out of the room. Well, the game ended. I walk out of the room. There's pandemonium out there. So then when I see how the people in the city reacted, it was pretty cool. And I was saying, I had to get away from Bobby Plager. He was getting me emotional. And, you know, I can tell what it meant to a man that's been there since 1967. So it was a real neat moment.
Chaser, the two things happened with the Blues this year. What's number one? Is it the coach, Craig Berube, going behind the bench, or is it the goaltender?
Well, obviously it was both, but one doesn't happen without the first one, and that was Craig Berube getting the opportunity. And Craig Berube getting the opportunity made it, and I said this to you guys before, I mean, it's just common sense with him, but common sense is not that common sometimes with people. And him saying, look, you want to play more or you play better? You want to play on the power play, score when I put you out there. You want to, you know, work harder. And it sounds like it's just very basic, but the truth of the matter is that that's what his expectations were, and he wasn't afraid to slot guys in the area that he felt that their play was indicative of. And so when Craig did that and then said, hey, we got to make a change with the goalie here, and Binnington took off, he just kept putting him in the net. And the other thing about him was even they had an excuse built in. I mean, you know, San Jose, they eliminated a couple teams and six referees in the playoffs, and they still were in a situation where, you know, that they were complaining about certain things. I was kind of like, man, they've had some real good breaks here. Craig Berube went in the room and just said, there's nothing we can do about it. These guys are human. They made an error. We know that was a mistake. Let's get moving on. We're winning the series. It was just immediate. And I think that with that built-in excuse there, they didn't try and use it. He just said, That's not the type of people we are, or what our group's about. So move on. Can't do anything about it. And I thought because it was immediate, that was a great way to, you know, to get that team rallied, and it took a lot and said a lot about their character.
With longtime St. Louis Blue Kelly Chase, so let's look ahead to the Cup final here. Boston, they're a well-oiled machine. You know, both these teams are two of the best teams in the league. This, I think, is going to be a great matchup. I'm leaning Blues in 6 or 7, but I think this could go either way. How do you feel about the matchup in general, and maybe how the Blues, if so, how they can find an edge on Boston?
Yeah, I think they balance out. I think the high end of Boston is probably higher end than St. Louis, but I think the depth and forwards and St. Louis is probably a little stronger, and it all depends on, you know, intangibles. I think the goaltending is pretty close right now. St. Louis might have an edge maybe on D with experience and mobility a little bit, but it really is two heavy groups. And, you know, like you said, it could go either way. I think it comes down to, and what it's going to come down to is taking advantage of specialty teams and your goaltenders making the stops they're supposed to make, and a couple are not. And if that, you know, the team that has the edge there is probably going to win the series. And look, for St. Louis, it would be wonderful. I mean, Boston certainly had their share of championships in their city and are accustomed to it. But I think you got a group in St. Louis that feels like they're not done. So I'm excited to see how it starts.
Chaser, who's your X factor, you know, heading into that finals? I mean, we were talking about a guy like Tyler Bozak, who's played fantastic, really, in the playoffs for the Blues. You know, Jaden Schwartz has been a great story, but is there somebody, a Barbashev or somebody that is we should be focusing on that can be a real difference maker?
Well, I think you're looking at that Barbashev, Oscar Sundquist, Steen line and going, wow, that's something. Ryan O'Reilly said something to me last night. He said, I've never seen a leader like Alex Steen. I've never seen an awareness to know all of the things that have happened in a game that happened in a person's life outside of the game that he recognizes, identifies with, and takes care of as a leader. So I look at him as one of the guys, and the other guy I look at to really coming out and having a series that could be a difference maker, and a little bit like Sagan did when the Bruins won, is Robert Thomas. Mm-hmm. This kid is a hell of a player. And I was sure he was going to score last night, but he's just got a calm about him, an excitement about him, and he's got young legs, man. And I don't know. I look at him and I go, this kid could make a real difference.
Well, basking it, Chaser. I mean, it sounds like it's an electric vibe down there in St. Louis, and you got a bunch of time off before Game 1. It's going to be fun, and I'm sure we'll catch up again at some point during the Cup Final.
Well, I know Noodles knows this, but if you guys get down there, O.B. Clark's seems like the place. My buddy said, whatever you do, don't say anything about being at my place. So I said, I wasn't at his place.
Yeah, I saw that on the tweet. I thought maybe you were caught in rush hour traffic coming back from the east side. So.
No. My Uber guy took me to the house. I grabbed my backpack, went right to the airport. It's just like old times Noodles. Fantastic.
Just a grizzled vet in a Cup final. I love it.
I love it.
Enjoy it, Chaser. Thank you, buddy.
Congrats, Chaser.
There's Kelly Chase.
Thanks,
8 years he spent down there in St. Louis as a Blue. And he's been living in St. Louis for a long time.
I mean,
with the team.
He is kind of the off-ice face of that organization.
He's a mayor. Yeah, when Hartford went back to St. Louis, it was Shanny and Chaser's first time back there, and we stayed overnight for some odd reason, which usually we would have been out of Dodge.
I'm sure they made it fast. We had a rookie dinner there once when I was with the Flames, and we were going back, and I called Chaser. I'm like, okay, we need a couple sets, you know, setups, and we had a police escort. We had, like, all sorts of, like, it was unreal. It was a fantastic night. Put it that way.
He is going to have a good time in the Cup Final.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it makes you
He'll be
jealous,
entertaining. Like, he'll be like, this party's hosted, because there's all kinds of functions.
Yeah. Right, absolutely.
The Chaser function.
It's got to happen at some point in Toronto. And that's why you're hoping the Raps get two more and you can give us something here in the NBA Finals. It'd be spectacular.
Yeah, well, you hear the excitement in his voice, right?
Right.
That's pretty cool. Imagine being a part of it, being a player.
Absolutely. Having it in your city.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's something that I think every sports fan, even if you're not a sports fan, it's just so cool. It's like hosting a major event.
Yeah,
It's just going to permeate the whole city. Everyone's going to know about it.
Yeah.
It'd be awesome. Mike Budenholzer, the head coach of the Bucks, has commented on Drake. We'll tell you about that next. All right, so game five tomorrow night in Milwaukee. We got ourselves a series here. The Raptors, I mean, that was a great game. Great performance. Kawhi only played 34 minutes. Lowry played 34. Pascal Siakam played 23, and they won by 18.
Yeah.
You know, if you can get that kind of effort on the road tomorrow night, you're in a very good position.
Absolutely.
But, you know, the crowd was behind them last night. We spoke with Rod Black in the 4 p.m. hour. I had a couple of buddies that were at the game last night, and they said it was electric. Like, you could feel it. And now Milwaukee's turn is tomorrow night, and their crowd is probably going to show up. Drake will not be in the building, we assume. I would say it's in his best interest to avoid Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Because they hate him down there, which I actually love. You know, I know there are people.
It's gamesmanship, for sure.
Yeah, Raptors fans are split on what's up with Drake. And, you know, I don't know about the whole shoulder rub stuff. I don't know why you would do that. I can't defend it. I have no problem with him being loud, rambunctious, being a super fan. I'm good with that.
Imagine some of the, like, other celebrities doing that to a coach. Like Pop or Riley or Phil Jackson.
If you're Milwaukee, like we could go back and look at this. I'm just thinking this off the top of my head. Who's like the most famous person from Milwaukee? Like I'm sure there's like an actor or a superstar or something from Milwaukee. Like, you know, I don't know.
I don't know either. I mean, sadly, Aaron Rodgers isn't from there, right. But he shows up.
But
and
sadly,
represents.
Like the only thing I think about with Milwaukee, I believe Jeffrey Dahmer is from there, which is one of the most famous serial killers of all time.
Right. I don't think that's on the welcoming.
Jeffrey
side.
Dahmer giving Budenholzer.
Yeah, like it's awful. But right. What I'm saying is, like, if there was, wouldn't it
someone not Jeffrey Dahmer?
Exactly.
Yes.
Like some. Exactly. It was a bad example, but that's all I think about.
No, I mean,
like,
he
from
is
Milwaukee.
Famous. For,
he's
for,
famous, but he's.
Not for the right reasons, clearly, but people know the name.
But if there was a famous person from Milwaukee, I wonder if they would bring him in and have him stand like.
Well, I don't think Budenholzer would be. I don't think he can allow that because. Budenholzer just spoke with the media, I believe, over a conference call, and he was asked about Drake, and Budenholzer said, quote, "There's certainly no place for fans or whatever Drake is for the Raptors on the court. There's boundaries and lines for a reason," end quote. Now, he was, again, asked the question, but I got to be honest.
Why
are you propping up Drake? Yeah. You know, it's like Giannis's agent earlier complaining about Drake. To me, it looks weak.
The only answer is it's their issue, not ours. We got to play basketball.
Well, I don't care about Drake. That should be the answer. I couldn't care less about Drake. Next.
The only thing that I could think of, and this isn't in defense of him, is if they're complaining to the league, this guy better, like, the Raptors better get this guy under control, or we want him, like, a penalty.
I could see that.
Because
technical, but I would say that is not the mental space you want to be in. You're worried about what Drake's going to do in game six.
But
worry about your own team.
You're right. But Rod Black pointed out that the Raptors complained to the league about Giannis and his traveling.
Yes, a player.
Now they're in his head. Wouldn't you get into the head of the league and go, just so you know, this guy has treaded a line. If he crosses it, you better tee him up. That would be my only defense of it.
I guess so.
I don't even know if it's a great
but
defense.
But even that you do behind the scenes.
Yes.
Like, that doesn't mean you have to like you're petulant and complaining.
Not on a conference call.
No, it sounds like these guys are honestly like they hate Drake, and that's a good thing for the Raptors.
Yeah.
And do you think Drake's going to stop now? This is fuel for him.
Oh, he is going to go
crazy.
What could he even next do level. More, though?
He's going to show up in a bodysuit in game six and do cartwheels down the sideline. Like, I don't know what the next role is, but he's going to up his game because now he does feel like he's a part of the game.
Well, I think the guy, he has to get pretty greased during the game. This guy's got a triple vodka going at all times. Have you ever noticed that?
I looked for it last night. He had water going last night, but I have seen him with the
plastic cup underneath the chair.
And he knows he's greased, which is great. Go and get greased. Like, I could understand if the guy was just Lomaxed and chirping and slurring his word. Like, if he was Namath. If he was Namath.
Joe Namath, yeah.
But he does it just because he's a super fan. Like, the passion's there. I get it. I do respect that. I just think he crosses the line. And My only worry is that he crosses a line at a bad time and it ends up costing the Raptors somehow.
Yes, and I don't know. I would think that report's coming out. Nothing happens in the NBA without it being reported by Adrian Wojnarowski,
exactly.
Shams Charania, you know, someone, Chris Haynes. Someone is going to get that report. Right. And it hasn't come out yet. And maybe it doesn't have to until we actually get back to a home game in Toronto where the Raptors have been warned. Because they're not going to go to Drake. That's not the way it works.
No, no.
The commissioner isn't going to call up Drake personally and saying, I'm putting you on warning.
No, they're calling Masai.
They would call the Raptors and say, listen, he is one of your own. He's a fan. Your security has to keep it under control. We're giving you a warning. If anything happens where we feel like he's crossed the line, we have given our refs carte blanche to tee up your team as a result of fandom.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if that's ever happened before in NBA history.
Well, we should find out if the Knicks were ever warned about Spike Lee.
I don't know. I mean, I couldn't tell you.
I mean, maybe it's been in an article or been reported that the Knicks had to speak to Spike Lee about his antics, or the Lakers had to speak to Jack Nicholson. Like, I don't know. I can't think of any off the top of my head, any type of examples.
I can't picture it happening, and I certainly can't picture it happening with Drake, because, again, I firmly believe the NBA loves that he's a part of this program. I think they love the association with him. He's an A-plus list superstar. Nobody trends like Drake. No one gets people, you know, launching memes and GIFs online like a Drake meme or a Drake GIF. I think they love it. I know the Raptors love it.
Yeah.
I mean, I said this earlier, and I firmly believe it. Well, I think if Nick Nurse complained, they'd say, get over it. I really do. I really do. I really think if he went to them and said, hey, I didn't like that he was, you know,
rubbing my shoulders,
I think they'd say that's what comes with the job.
I don't know. I think Nurse.
It'd be curious to get his answer on that. I'm sure he'll probably be asked tomorrow.
He did. He was asked today, and he said, I didn't even notice it.
Yeah,
he played coy.
He's
like, I was so into the game, I did. Do you believe that?
Dude,
no.
If that was Joe Blow, if that was Joe from the Bridge that gave him a shoulder rub, he would be in a pretzel shoved in a garbage can.
But what
garbage
I'm saying,
can.
Sometimes he may have thought that was his assistant coach giving him a smack or something. Like, there is contact, like on the bench, but that's what I think the line got crossed. Drake shouldn't be walking up to the coach and he runs over the players. Like, when the players exit, sometimes he gives them the high five.
Yes,
like
all the time.
He's part of the team.
All the time he does that. It's a strategic position that they put him in.
Right.
Like, again, we started the show by talking about how MLSC handed this guy a sports jacket worth $800,000 last night.
Yeah.
A diamond-encrusted sports coat that is reportedly worth upwards of $800,000.
Gene Wilder is from Milwaukee. So if Gene Wilder... I've been looking. I'm like, most famous people from Wisconsin. Could you imagine if they were like, Gene Wilder, we need you to fly in.
That guy was in some classics.
Stir Crazy.
80s.
Yeah, he was.
Him and Richard Pryor were like the go-to.
But if you,
comedy duo.
Yeah, Liberace was from there apparently too.
Well, that's not gonna work.
Yeah,
anymore.
It's not gonna work. But like, I was just checking to see if there's any like famous.
Liberace was from Milwaukee.
Apparently.
Doesn't that seem like the biggest oxymoron ever? Like,
yeah.
I thought he was Italian.
Yeah.
No, he was from,
I thought he was from
West,
Sicily or
West
something.
Alice, a suburb of Milwaukee.
Amalfi Coast.
That
Liberace.
Is honestly shocking to me that Liberace's from Milwaukee.
Well, it says,
I thought he was Italian.
Here's the article. Yeah. You may be surprised to learn these 13 famous people are from Milwaukee. Gene Wilder's number one. Liberace, number two. Les Paul, the guitars, Les Paul.
Okay, there you go.
That's kind of cool. Bill Weir. I don't know who that is.
Oh, Bill Weir was in a Grateful Dead, wasn't he?
Bill Weir is a well-known television anchor.
Oh, okay. What's Liberace? Like, is the guy's real name Frank Cunningham or something?
Well, yeah, his real name is... No, I can't even get... Vladzu Valentino Liberace.
That guy's not from Wisconsin.
It says...
He's from Italy.
He's from West Allis, a suburb of Milwaukee. Unless I'm getting, like... Unless this is like The Onion, you know, like one of these online fake news.
Go to his Wikipedia page.
Okay.
Here you go. Liberace. I'm on his Wikipedia page right now.
Okay.
He's from Wisconsin. I honestly have never been more shocked on radio.
What's his real name?
Well, Noodles just said
it's like a weird first name. I can't pronounce it.
Lazio Valentino Liberace.
No. Wow.
He's from the Amalfi Coast.
His parents are of Italian and Polish origin, but he was born in Milwaukee. Wow. I am shocked by that. Shocked.
Well, listen, I
Liberace. There you go.
You learn something new every day. But so the Gene Wilder thing is pretty funny.
Gene Wilder's showing up.
Apparently, though, Gene Wilder is deceased.
Yeah,
so
I should point that out.
I apologize. I'm not trying to...
Right. Well, and Liberace is as well.
Exactly.
So can we get someone who's, you know, still alive from Milwaukee that could potentially show up and be considered a big... Like, not someone that's associated with Milwaukee, because Aaron Rodgers is now. Like, yes. Well, I feel like Rodgers might have stock in the Bucks. I feel like he may be a minority owner.
In the sports world, not in the world, but in the sports world, Aaron Rodgers would be an A-list
Absolutely.
Celebrity.
In North America, for sure.
Okay, so if Aaron Rodgers, like, stood there...
He's courtside. He'll be courtside tomorrow night with Danica Patrick, I would assume.
But he's an athlete, so I know in his mind he would never chirp because he's like, I've been there. I've been the guy on the court. I've been the guy on the field. Like, I would never do that.
Well, how do you think Drake responds to getting chirped at shows?
Like, well, people pay to watch him, though. So you get, like,
they're
people
all fans.
Are actually, they're fans. Like, once in a while, I'm sure there's somebody. But, like if I liked his music, I would pay to go and watch him because he's a fantastic songwriter. And I don't know. I've heard his shows are either great or poor, depending on who you talk to.
Well, if you love his music, you're going to love him.
Well, Steph, I think, went to OVO or whatever, and she thought it stunk.
Oh, really? So, OVO? Yeah. Or whatever it is. Yeah.
So I mean,
I like Drake. Like I'm.
Yeah. So, but like, you're not gonna go to chirp like you chirp a guy. But like,
yeah, it seems my like
my
a
question,
weird move.
My thing is if he went on stage and invited, let's say he invited the Raptors and Kawhi got drunk and just wanted to get up and dance on stage and was dancing around in the background and interfering with the dancers and grabbing a microphone and stuff,
well,
he'd be like, hey, settle down here.
Yes, I do. I don't think he'd have a problem with them dancing around at all. At all. I think if Kawhi showed up at his show, and he would invite him up on stage so fast, your
introduce
head would spin.
Him, but he
would
be...
love that. But I don't think he would like, yes, mid-song, someone picking up a microphone and,
and
you know, singing
like,
along.
Kawhi's breaking it down with Drake. Like, I think even Drake would feel like there's a line.
If he ever plays a festival, then you're opening yourself up to a crowd that may not be a big supporter.
That is true. If you, like Timberlake, got a rock or a shoe thrown at him.
Sarstock, I fell for the guy, man. I was there. It was just Rick Grinders showing up to see the Stones and to see AC/DC. And then Timberlake comes out and he's singing, you know, bringing Sexy back and doing break dances.
They were
throwing
their sandals at the dude.
Yeah, he was like bottles were being thrown at him. It was not a good look.
He was miscast. That's what it was.
Yeah, and the worst part about that was it was a big charity, like, put us back on the map event. This guy's nice enough to come up.
Yeah.
And people are, like, booing him off the stage.
Well, I hope that his memories of Toronto are just not that. Like, I would imagine he's
probably I'm sure he's had some pretty good times. And, yeah, he's probably played how many shows in Toronto?
Somebody 20, sent 30? Somebody sent us a note that Jimmy Buffett got kicked out of a Heat-Knicks game. For cursing at the referee.
Yeah, I guess so. Like, because referees are different. Like, does Drake, I guess he probably does yell at the refs, but it seems like it's more he's yelling at the opponents.
Yeah.
And then he's trying to hype up his own team.
But he, like, trash talking, I get it. Like, trash talking's an art. And I agree with you. I think the Raptors love it because if they didn't love it, Somebody would have stepped in and said, you can't do that.
Oh, yeah. Listen, man, he's there. I saw earlier this afternoon.
Unless he crosses the line. That's the only thing. If the NBA warns them and he ends up accidentally getting too rambunctious and on the court or gets involved with a player too much and the player ends up shoving him or something
like
that.
They win in game six. He's got to go up to the visiting coach and give him the old shoulder rub and
just say,
chew on that.
But with that, if you lose, you get all the chirping.
Oh,
too.
If they lose, they get blown out in game six. He'll be the first guy out of the building.
Yeah, or he'll be gone. He'll find a trapdoor and he will be out of there immediately.
Aria just sent me a note. Talk about chirping. Remember when Seinfeld got booed by that manager the girl, and then he went to her office and
checked
her.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah. I guess you can't really do that with Drake, though. You got to find a way to get to the stage.
Yeah, exactly.
Not going to work. But yeah. I like it. If I'm the Raptors, honestly, I love this. I think it's a bit of a distraction, too, for the Bucks. They probably don't mind it either. Let's talk about Drake as opposed to the fact that we just blew two games in Toronto.
Exactly.
And they were probably feeling overly confident. And everyone, including us, were pumping their tires about 22-1 after a loss. Well, it's 22-2 now, and you got smoked last night.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been saying this. We've all been saying it throughout the afternoon. I think Giannis, he has the most pressure on him. I don't think it's even close in this series because this guy has had a flawless, perfect season. He's been crowned. And now all of a sudden, you know, the refs are looking out for him. He got called for three in the key last night. You know, he's complaining a lot. The Raptors are double-teaming him. They're clogging up the paint. They're making it difficult on him.
Right.
He's throwing up air balls. His agent's jumping on Twitter and chirping Drake.
Yeah.
Let's see what you got tomorrow night, man. I mean, I think the Raptors have to feel pretty good about themselves now that they've all squared up. And
well,
it's the best of three.
If there is some former, I don't even think it's momentum, confidence. You got to go in there and you got to win one. So might as well try and come back here in game six in a wrap it up scenario. It'll be a tough game though. I'm still sad that Gene Wilder passed away. I missed that one.
Oh, it was a while ago.
Yeah, well, 2016.
It says
that he passed away of Alzheimer's.
That's
terrible.
Gene Wilder was unreal.
Huge fan, but
he had some great movies with Richard Pryor. And
yeah, those stir crazy. There's some great movies there. He was Willy Wonka.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, there's.
No,
from
he had a great
Milwaukee,
run.
Liberace.
Liberace, Gene Wilder. There's your lesson for the day.
Exactly.
I did not know that.
Well, people are writing in Laverne and Shirley.
But that's a TV show. That doesn't count.
But Happy Day, I don't know.
Steve Avery's from just outside of Milwaukee.
Yeah, we don't want to.
I don't think he's
like
showing
to say,
up.
There's some grit around that area too.
Ed Hockley, the NFL ref, he's from Milwaukee. You don't want him wrapping his paws around your neck, choke you out. The guy's a monster.
Exactly.
All right, we'll get to our best bets. Brought to you by ProLine. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
Welcome to Jerry's After Dark, where all of your wildest hot takes come to life. Because Jerry's always in the mood for one more, and you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Time now for the horniest hot take of the week, Jerry's After Dark. It's a little bit later. The kids have gone to bed. The lights are down.
Go time.
And takes are hot. Let's hear from Jerry.
In 2 weeks, I'm going to say this. Alex Petrangelo, come and get the Stanley Cup.
In 2 weeks, Jerry thinks Petrangelo will go and get the Stanley Cup. A good King City boy.
Is he a King City? Wow.
There's more celebrities in King City than Milwaukee.
It's possible.
65%.
75%.
I'm 50. You can't sleep on the Boston
Bruins.
I'm
not sleeping on the Bruins. I'm just making a pick. I think, you know, I would say 100% if I was fully committed to the Blues. I'm not. You know, I think it's close, but
I think it's a pick.
Leaning St. Louis.
I really do. I think it's a pick 'em. Like, the Bruins are very well coached, and they're deep, and they've played well. They're rested. I don't know. I mean, I think either way, it's a good storyline. St. Louis is a fantastic storyline, actually, because of 50 years without it.
And where they were at the beginning of January.
Yeah. But
Boston doesn't need another title. It's just a big troll job.
But
for people.
I can't with confidence go, yeah, like that's St. Louis. I think everyone, for the most part, has been wrong with picks setting into the playoffs here.
Mm-hmm.
Although I have seen people that did choose St. Louis right from the start out west. And a couple people that I thought chose Boston right through. Now, I don't know if that was just fans.
Well, Boston had a great season. They're a really good team.
I couldn't sleep on them, but I'm just saying Tampa was all eyes, everything pointed to Tampa,
yeah. At least winning
deep.
A game in the first
round. Exactly.
Let alone
But yeah, I'm
four.
At 50. I think it's I think it's going to be good hockey and a good series.
Well, what do you make of Peter DeBoer's comments last night? You know, the two biggest, heaviest teams. These are the guys. This is what you need to win in the Cup.
And he's not talking like there are a bunch of stiffs out there. Obviously, they're not. But everyone moves well, skates well. It's a fast game. But that's how you get to the finals. It's just a war out there. It's 2 months long.
Yeah, I think.
Toe-dragging and dangles and all that other nonsense. It's.
Yeah, you can't play on the perimeter.
Yeah, like that's the one thing I noticed. It may not be the sizes to compete, though. Like there is no ice out there. Like second and third efforts coming back and blocking shots. Like
Crushing everyone. Braden Chen is the example I gave early on. He's a skilled player. He's a good player. He's not that big. But if he has a chance in the playoffs, he will run you through the boards.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily what it takes every time. But even the ability to want to drill somebody like that. Like, you got to want to do it, or else you just don't last.
Well, yeah. We're going to archive that comment because we'll see what the Leafs do throughout the summer. But
well, I don't think they're going to be the Charlestown Chiefs September.
No, but
no, I don't think they will.
Mike
either,
Babcock said in his postseason presser,
he said we got some big guys.
We got
coming.
Some big bodies coming. Now, to me, he was talking about the Russians, the two Russians they signed. I don't know who else he would be. It's not Sandin.
No, it's not Lilligren. Not any of those defensemen that they have, who apparently are, again, really high-quality prospects.
And very skilled, yeah.
No one's saying you don't want those guys.
No, not at all.
But
I think he
big
does.
Big teams find a way to make it work in the spring.
Well, they have so far. And
historically. I mean, this isn't right. Like it's just the past 2 years kind of thing.
You're right, because Washington was a heavy team last year.
Pittsburgh wasn't your conventional heavy team in their back-to-back cups, but a pretty good team.
They had good jam.
Yeah. Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Over in the Yankees-Orioles game tonight, I'm on the Rays paying plus money at home against the Dodgers and the Braves tonight. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. ProLine, get way into the game. Enjoy your evenings. We're back tomorrow at
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.